Congress is considering a bill to streamline the way agencies respond to Freedom of Information Act requests. As things stand now, 99 agencies each respond to FOIA requests differently. With the Justice Department leading interagency talks, a plan is underway to fix the inconsistencies FOIA requesters face when dealing with multiple agencies. Advocacy groups like the Electronic Privacy Information Center have their own sets of recommendations. Ginger McCall is the associate director of EPIC. She explains what's wrong with the administration's set of recommendations it has put out.
This commitment came out of the National Action Plan. The National Action Plan, it had some good things. It had some not so good things. The administration, while it committed to being the most transparent administration in history, has unfortunately failed to live up to that goal, probably in large part because there's a real culture of secrecy that's entrenched within the agencies. The Department of Justice in particular, the Office of Information Policy, has had some problems in the past. The most recent FOIA regulations that they had put out, that they had proposed, were actually very, very bad, and we had objected to them. A lot of other transparency groups had objected to them. We're still waiting to see what will happen with that.
All right, so that's short term, but in the long term, why has FOIA just never quite fulfilled the expectations people have, no matter every administration says they're going to be transparent? You say it's buried in the agencies, but can that ever change?
I think it can. I think that there has to be a shift in culture within the agencies. Right now, there's a real culture of secrecy. There are a lot of incentives within the agencies for withholding information and not so many incentives for disclosing information.
Explain that.
So if someone gives out a piece of information that they're not supposed to give out, there are real penalties for that. But if they withhold a piece of information that they are perhaps not allowed to withhold under the statute, there aren't so many penalties for that. In fact, you usually won't see any penalties unless you end up going to court.
And so tell us specifically, how does this play into the Freedom of Information Act requests? Because at the same time, we are seeing that the agencies have some sort of structure, and each agency is more or less has the same structure when they're handling these requests. So it seems like there is something in place at each agency. What's happening?
Well, there is a structure, and I think that there is, in many agencies, a concerted effort to reduce the backlog in ways that are actually permissible under the statute. I think there are a lot of good people working within these agency FOIA offices, but they're working with limited resources. There's limited money that is devoted toward FOIA. Most of these offices are understaffed. They're understaffed. They don't have the best technology. It's a difficult working situation for them. So I don't mean to suggest that it's necessarily the FOIA officers who are at fault here. There's an entire system that's in place that's problematic.
From your perspective, do you get the sense that these FOIA officers or those in the agencies that are actually trying to open records are separate from the rest of the agencies, or are they an integral part of the agencies?
The sense that we often get is that they're sort of segregated from the rest of the agency, that they maybe have a hard time getting the other people within the agency to respond to their requests to conduct a search of records, especially in a timely manner. So there might be a little bit of that going on. I mean, that's not to say that there aren't bad actors within the agency. For instance, last week I got a response from the Department of Homeland Security. It took them 4 years to respond to my FOIA request.
4 years?
4 years. That's actually not that unusual. It's bad, but it's not that unusual. So it took them 4 years to respond to my request. And when they did respond, they said, "We're just now getting to your request, but if you don't tell us within 20 days that you're still interested in this request, we're just going to administratively close it."
But what were you requesting?
We were requesting some documents related to the body scanner machines that are in the airports. So, I mean, there's nothing under the statute that would allow them to do that, to just administratively close a request, to demand that the requester confirm continued interest in the request and then administratively close it if they don't hear within 20 days. And there's a sort of integral unfairness to that they can take 4 years to respond to my request, and then once they do, they demand within 20 days that I respond to them or they're just going to close it.
All right, so you have proposed some FOIA regulations, kind of a model FOIA regulation, and I guess you could describe how that would change, and also I guess the question would be, would things actually change in the way the agencies act if they had new regulations?
So the model FOIA regulations we put together with CRU and with the National Security Archive and OpenTheGovernment.org, and these seek to address some of the routine problems that we've seen in agency regulations that then play out in agency practices. So to make it easier for news media requesters, for new media, for bloggers to obtain favorable fee status so they have to pay less fees for their requests, to close up some loopholes that have been allowing agencies to still charge fees even if the agencies are 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years late in responding to the request, to make it slightly more difficult for agencies to just assert a B-5 exemption without actually having a justification for it.
I want to ask you to explain that one a little bit, but first let me say we're speaking with Ginger McCall. She is the Associate Director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center. Explain that one.
What we've asked for is a balancing test for the B-5 exemption. What we saw in the wake of there was a Supreme Court case, Milner, in which the Supreme Court vacated an exemption that the agencies had heavily relied on. It was a court-created exemption, exemption B too high. And in the wake of that, we've seen agencies shift more to using Exemption 5, which Exemption 5 sweeps in all of these sort of civil litigation privileges, including the work product privilege, the attorney-client privilege. All of those things get swept in under Exemption 5. And we've really seen that exemption overused by the agencies. It's a very oft-cited exemption. And so what we've asked for here is a balancing test for that exemption. The agency, if they're going to use that exemption to withhold information, then has to justify it with a foreseeable harm, to say that there's actually a harm that would be created if we put this information out into the world and made it open.
Do you think that the culture of endlessly and intense criticism and ridicule back and forth from both political sides, and the idea that every mistake is a scandal worthy of firing 1,000 people, is part of the reason that agencies seem to be retrenching or at least not moving forward in being open about fulfilling FOIA requests?
It certainly seems like it contributes. What we saw several years ago was that the Department of Homeland Security had actually added an additional layer of review into FOIA requests, where they were kicking their request off to what they were calling the front office, which was a bunch of political appointees, so those people could then review it for potentially politically incendiary topics.
And with regards to the Exemption 5 that can let agencies exempt things that are part of the work process, as you said, what is to stop an agency, or what do you think should be there to stop an agency from just saying, oh, there's going to be harm done if we release it, enough said?
Well, I think if they're in good faith addressing the foreseeable harm question, it would give them pause, I hope. I would hope that it would at least create some sort of thought process of, should I really withhold this or should I put it out and make it open? That's what we're trying to build in here, something that just causes a second thought, a reconsideration. That would be helpful.
And what is your strategy for trying to get the model regulations into place? Would you need Congress to help you with that?
So we've met with the Office of Information Policy. Under the National Action Plan, the Office of Information Policy is tasked with creating these common FOIA regulations. They're starting that process right now. We've met with them. We presented our model FOIA regulations to them. Their process, I think, is going to include smaller working groups that are centered on certain topics within the regulations. So we're hoping to have follow-up meetings with those smaller working groups. What would be great here is if we can have a continual dialogue with the agency and with the working groups where we can go back and forth, where they can say, we don't really like what you put in your model FOIA regulation, and here's why. And we can have a conversation about that and come to some sort of agreement that both protects the interests of the requesters and protects the interests of the agency.
What you've been describing is a government that says it wants to be more open and yet for whatever reason is sort of stuck in the status quo. So what do you think has to change?
Well, it would be great if there was more funding that was devoted toward FOIA offices, if it was more of a priority. And I think that falls squarely on Congress to create more funding. I think that the Office of Information Policy needs to take a leadership role. The regulations, the proposed regulations they put out several years ago were very, very bad. They were very unfriendly to the requester. They had numerous problems that we detailed in our comments that are on our website. I think that with these common regulations, they have a new chance to create something that is requester-friendly and to foster that attitude within the other agencies.